I began Lent in right earnest. Ash Wednesday was a great day. Thursday after Ash Wednesday, I kept things in focus. On Friday, I was totally busy and preoccupied with the preparation for the parish mission that's coming up. Also preparing this homily, of course, and getting busy with a lot of the preparation for the Archbishop's visit. So about 1 o'clock, I'm very hungry. I opened the refrigerator, well, let's see what's there to eat. Stuff from the weekend, leftovers. So I said, okay, well, let me get something. I was ravenously hungry. So I said, I'm just gonna grab what's there, eat. And so the staff and we're all working together, and the staff suddenly asked me, one of them asked me, oh, so what did you have for lunch? Boom, it hit me. Leftover rice and meat on Friday of Lent. And I said, darn it, I wanted my Lent to be perfect this time. And here you go, 2 days into Lent, I mess it all up. So much for beginning Lent in right earnest. And the irony of it all, my homily is about the three temptations of Christ. And I spent the whole morning thinking about, you know, what does this mean for us? As I said in the introduction, both the readings, the first and the gospel, present to us two stories. And these stories can be contrasted and similarities found on multiple levels. But here are some things that would probably have already struck us. The man and woman were in a delightful garden. It's a garden of plenty. That's everything they want over there. In the gospel reading, Jesus is in a desert. There's nothing there. Secondly, in the first reading, man and woman have each other for company. They could have helped each other stay on track. Jesus in the desert is alone. There's nobody there. Him and God. Thirdly, as God saw it, the world in the first reading was still untainted by sin. This is God's perfect world. As the scripture tells us, God looked at this world and saw that it was good. But the world in which Jesus faced the tempter, this world is in need of redemption. There are other differences, like Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, they gave in to the temptation, but in the gospel reading, Jesus overcomes the temptation. But here is one very significant similarity. Both the garden and the desert became the battleground for the eternal strife between good and evil. That's what's common to these readings. Whether it's the desert or the garden, that becomes the primary place where this battle takes place. And today, for us, just as in the first human beings and just as in Jesus, the strife continues in our own lives. And whether inside us there is a garden or a desert, only we know. But inside us, this strife continues. And as we begin Lent, these 40 days will increase an awareness of the strife between us. And we have been talking this to you catechumens and candidates a lot. We've used the word conversion. We've used the word making sure that you're in the presence of God, walk the path, and all of that. The strife. These 40 days will remind us that there was a price that was paid to free us from the strife. And hopefully, Easter time, by the end of these 40 days, we would have figured out a way so that in our lives, it's the story of Jesus that's lived out and not the story of the man and woman in the garden. Only then Lent becomes meaningful, isn't it? So keeping these contrasts and these similarities in mind, I'm going to present to you three things that I thought of as I failed and messed up the beginning of my Lent. I mean, how is it that my Lent can be more meaningful than just not eating meat on Friday or giving up cookies or candies or beer for Lent? It's got to be something more. So here is what I think Lent would mean for me, and I invite you, if it's possible, to make this part of your Lent as well. First, become aware of the potential for evil within you. In both the readings, evil is personified. So in the book of Genesis, evil takes the form of a serpent. In the desert, evil is called devil. In other words, this is Scripture's way of giving evil a face and a name. Now, in my own experience, I did not eat meat on Friday because I saw a serpent speaking to me, or the devil did not appear to me. The potential for evil is not so much outside me, but the potential for evil is within me. And for me, this Lent, I would like to be aware of my potential for sin and evil, and I want to very specifically identify my capacity for evil and give it a face and a name, because when I know what I'm dealing with, then I know how to deal with it. So for example, this Lent, I think of my potential for pride, my capacity for arrogance, my weakness for spiritual discipline, my desire for control, and my faith in my own abilities. These are my serpents. These are my devils that I must be aware of. And I invite you to become aware of your own potential for evil. When you give evil in your life a face and a name, then you know how to deal with it. Point number one. Secondly, this Lent, become aware of God in us. Even as we become aware of the potential for evil, we must recognize there is a greater reality at work in each one of us, and that's the grace of God. We're not just succumbing to evil all the time. There's something else at work, as St. Paul would say. It's the grace of God. And like Christ, I want to become more deeply aware of God. As I become aware of the evil, on the other hand, I want to become aware of God's presence in me. Jesus' retort to the devil is significant. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus gives me a fabulous tool, not only to confront the evil in me, but also to become aware of God's presence in me. And that great tool is God's word. So this Lent, don't let days go by without being in touch with God's word. Open the scriptures. Take the Lenten readings. Devour it. Digest it. Live it. Make it part of you. If it's possible for you to attend the Eucharist, please do. Lenten devotion and spirituality have a meaning and purpose. For example, the way of the cross on Tuesdays. It's meant to heighten the awareness of God and what the price that Christ paid for our redemption. And unless we become increasingly aware of God during Lent, What's the purpose of giving up meat and beer and cookies to get back to it after Lent? Lent after Lent goes away and we remain the same people. So I'm suggesting, first, become aware of the potential for evil. On the other hand, also become aware of the presence of God and use the tools that Christ has made available to us so that the strife within us is a strife that we face like Christ did in the desert. And my third point, I'm suggesting that we find practical ways to live God's redemption in our lives. So this word, God's redemption. I mean, Christ did something for us. So in the desert, for our sake and for our redemption, he does not give in to the devil. Imagine what would have happened if Christ had succumbed to even one of those temptations. Now, how can we unify the efforts that we make during Lent with Christ's redeeming story? That's what I mean by trying to find the connection between our Lent and Christ's redemption. So this Shrove Tuesday, the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, the staff, all of us, when we got for lunch, we cut the king cake like many people do, and then we took a piece of paper and we said, what is this Lent going to mean for us? Put on a piece of paper. Each staff had their own resolution. So one of them said, well, I want to get my life more organized. Another person said, you know, as I look back, I realized my life is not focused around God, and I must. Another person said, this Lent is going to be my way of reconnecting with my family. And I said myself that I want to be a more humble person. Right? How is it that our Lent can some way be connected to the life and the events of Christ's life? So for me to be like Christ in the desert, fasting, hungering, thirsting for God, has to connect with my humility. The cross has to connect with my humility. Or for the person who's trying to focus their life back on God, somehow that effort needs to be connected with the events of Jesus' life. So please find practical ways where whatever resolution that you have made, and I hope your story is better than mine. I hope 2 days after Lent you didn't find yourself messing up. I hope your story is better than mine. But whatever resolution you've made, don't do it for the heck of it. Don't do it because that's what everyone is doing. If we take those resolutions without becoming aware of our potential for evil, without becoming aware of God's presence, without realizing the price Christ paid for us, without connecting our lives to the redemption story, then Easter will find us not prepared at all for the resurrection of Christ. So here is the very first Sunday of Lent. What beautiful readings. Let the strife within us make us aware of our calling to be disciples of Christ. I'm going to conclude with this. Jesus said in today's gospel, man does not live by bread alone. On the other hand, we Catholics, we live by bread alone. We come Sunday after Sunday, and we come to this table because here is the bread of life. We are in such better place than the first man and woman. We have the very body and blood of Christ, the bread of heaven that is given to us so that as we go back from here and as we continue to live our Lent, we can live on bread alone. That bread is the word of God. That bread is the bread from this table. Folks, as you receive communion today, please tell God, this is the bread. This is the word made flesh on which I want to live and build my life. And when we do that, hopefully our Lenten journey will be a story of redemption and not a story of failure and sin. And the people of God said,